Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's up?
Nothing much. Just trying to get to the weekend already. God darn it.
Almost. Almost. Of course, it doesn't really matter much for me. My weeks all are just days that end in Y.
I mean, isn't everyone's?
Well, I just mean that I don't have a normal, like, 9 to 5, like my schedule, like I don't have certain days that are just, I don't have like a weekend, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. That's white privilege for you.
Yeah. Jeez, Manny, already trying to get us canceled. The intro hasn't even run yet. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, almost Daily Cup of Genre, here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and the Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all your favorite podcast apps such as Google, Spotify, Apple, Shut Up Phone. The new podcast network, Shut Up Phone. It's great. I highly suggest you guys try it out. I'm Kyle. That's Manny. And I'm trying to silence my phone, so sorry. Subscribe if you haven't already. Follow us on your favorite podcast app. Check out LRMonline.com every day for entertainment news, needs, opinions, written reviews, celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel, and more. We're going to talk video games today, Manny.
Yay.
Because I have good and I have awful, horrible nightmare. On the good, the Spider-Man, Marvel's Spider-Man 2 trailer dropped. Did you get a chance to check that beautiful game footage out, Manny?
Not really, no.
What? What? Oh man. Well, I'm going to of course play it for the audience here. We get our first look at, this is the PlayStation game, of course. We get our first look at Spidey in the symbiote suit, which is great. They make it look organic going over his actual, you know, advanced suit, his normal Spider-Man suit, so you can see like the uniform lines through the biomass, if you will. The powers look cool. Everything looks great on it, but I did have some fun. Spidey's voice is rather gruff. I'll play a quick little audio clip for the audience if you guys haven't seen it yet. But he's got a I am Spider-Man thing going on, which I get, because he's in the symbiote and they're kind of doing, you know, Venom makes you a bit more aggressive and stuff like that. I dug it. It looks like a lot of fun. PlayStation 5 exclusive, or at least PlayStation exclusive. I think it's 5 exclusive.
Yeah.
And due out in fall of this year, which doesn't mean jack shit. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I say that to Suicide Squad.
Did you pick it? Or did you? Are you taking a look at the trailer or anything
right
now?
It looks like every other Spider-Man game I've played.
But so. You get the suit, man!
Wow, you get the suit. In the last game, you got like 18 suits.
No, it's the symbiote suit though, with the symbiote powers. The last time we got this, you jerk, was God, what was it called? Web of Shadows.
Was it?
The last time we got like an open world one. Was Web of Shadows with the suit, because you had not friend or foe, what was it, web of shadows or shattered web or something like that, where you got to play like Ultimate Spider-Man in the symbiote suit, but it was more of like an action beat 'em up game versus, you know, the open world.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying it's there's nothing. It's like it's just a different suit.
You gotta watch the.
This is like getting a new iPhone.
Gameplay, man. No, there's additional mechanics and stuff. You jerk.
No, he can turn to the left. Wow. Like, it looks exactly like other Spider-Man games. Okay. Like I'm watching it right now. I'm just like, okay.
Are you just upset because you can't play it? Is that what it is? Do you have a PS5? Wait.
No, I'm going to actually be getting one pretty soon, but...
No? Okay.
Specifically because I still do want to play the Harry Potter game. And also... I haven't played... PC. Everyone keeps telling me, just go PC. And I'm like, no, F you. I'm not one of those gamers.
Anyways.
Oh, actually, the thing is also, I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I wish I did, because, I mean, I buy games. A lot of times, I end up buying games, and they stay in the wrapper for a very long time, which is a topic we're going to talk about soon, because soon I don't even have to worry about that anyway.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, because that was the other big topic that was the bad. When it comes to this though, what upsets me is just how many other games and characters we could really use this type of thing for, and not just comic books, but you go back and you start thinking about crap, what were we playing the other day? There was I'm sorry guys, I'm having a complete, I was just talking about a game the other day with Christine that I was like, man, we need a real new 3D open world version of this, and it was frack, man. I'm sorry, I can't remember, but that's what I'm saying is like, I like this, but it does upset me that there hasn't been additional characters. Superman, there it is. Frack me. We were watching the Angry Video Game Nerd. We were watching old AVGN, and it was his second playthrough on Nintendo 64's Superman game. And it reminded me, I was sitting there, I was like, you know, you've got these great games like Spider-Man. You've got great third person open world games like Horizon Zero Dawn and things like that, and yeah, we can't get a good Superman game these days. You had the Batman games did real well, the Arkham Knight Asylum and whatever games, those did pretty well. But where you have the Avengers thing, which failed miserably, and then you do the same with the Guardians of the Galaxy, the exact same game, just it was mostly better according to most. I didn't care for either one too much. Thank God I didn't spend much time or money on them. But they make this formula work for Spider-Man so well, and yet we don't have other. Hell, we can't even get the Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League or whatever it's called to actually hit market.
That game was teased during the first DC fandom
back in 1920.
It had to have been
20 or 21. 20.
It had been, because it was virtual.
Yeah, 20 or 21. Yeah.
21, I think, was the second one. And then 22, they didn't do one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something like that. So. maybe it was 21. Anywho. Yeah, the thing about Superman, though, is he's a very difficult character to do a video game with. Because...
Should it be, though?
I mean, like, his powers make it difficult. Like, he's very, very OP. And it just... Just the explanation of how your life gain or decrease makes it a little...
I'll give you that.
You have to
scale up the enemies where everyone's fighting with kryptonite gauntlets or something like that. But I do think you come up with a balance. Like, for example, the fact that he can go around the world in the blink of an eye, you have to use a way to have a relatively open world that allows him to be super fast, but you create the environment where blazing speed the whole time doesn't make sense. You basically have to find that balance with the audience of, hey, we know he can do more, just like you knew Link damn well could jump all the way back in Ocarina of Time, and yet, you know, jumping Link is a anyways. You have to find that type of balance where the audience says, okay, I'm willing to meet you here. I know that we're capable of more, but in order to have this Superman experience, I'm going to have to, you know, accept this limitation. And you use things like in the story, like, well, he doesn't need to go to Africa. Just because you can run to Africa in the blink of an eye doesn't mean he needs to go there right now. So you have the open world, but the open world, you can still travel to other areas, right? But you don't necessarily, like, the blink of an eye actually happens. You go from Metropolis to Gotham, and then Gotham to Star or whatever Star City. Mm-hmm. And you have little, like, mini open worlds in each of those little things like that. But the power one is interesting because Kryptonite. I love how Kryptonite has various levels of effect. He can lift a kryptonite island sometimes, and then other times a softball chunk size is killing him. So that is that's probably the hard one.
I think the surprise is, how has there not been an Iron Man game like this yet?
Iron Man VR, but I love flight sims, so I would love to fly around with Iron Man like this. That was always the problem. Like, I really enjoyed the, and I'm going to make a new timestamp here. I really enjoyed the Ultimate Alliance Marvel games, but there was always an issue for several of the characters, the ones that fly like Iron Man or the ones that swing like Spider-Man. They, you know, they're very contained, they're very tight. It's like a dungeon crawler type game. The Ultimate Alliance games, they're a lot of fun, but they don't give you that feel that this game does. Like, I after seeing the trailer yesterday, I wanted to go back and play through the Miles Morales, story. And, I'm sitting there, I'm just like playing it, and I'm like, man, I forgot how great this feels. Like, the swinging mechanics, the coolness of the looks, the scenery, all the little Easter eggs, Avengers Tower, and real Easter eggs, like swinging by Madison Square Garden, a building I've been by several times, including trips for New York Comic-Con. Like, I had forgotten how great that feels, and I would love that experience for other characters. And it doesn't always have to be an open world 3D adventure game like this, but that really does help, especially if it's a character that's high mobility. Like the upcoming X-Men game, or not X-Men game, Logan game, if it's like Guardians and Avengers was, I'm not sure I really care. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And also, I think something about Marvel games, especially one when you look at how much of a relative failure, if not outright failure, Avengers was, considering it's done with support and all of that, is I think those types of games work better in person. Like, I think it's better to play a Ultimate Alliance game together than it was to play Marvel's Avengers, especially if you're all four, or you know, three or four of you in one room playing an Ultimate Alliance or the X-Men one. I forget what that series, Legends, I think X-Men Legends was called. I think that matters some.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
And that could kind of bring us on to what you wanted to talk about. You know, as we require less and less interactions, and the cost of business shipping, keeping people to stock shelves and all that increases, you're seeing more and more turns to all digital. I mean, you've got all digital consoles out there. I have a huge digital Steam library, but I also have a very large physical media library, both for movies and games. I try to buy as many games physically as I can, because of that fear of a digital store shutting down, to where if I lose my current system or my current drive, I can no longer get that game because the store has closed down. Looking at you, Nintendo and Sony. So I have that fear, and also the fear of ripping out support. You don't have a physical copy to run. If servers shut down, especially on PC gaming's always a huge community helping keeping old games alive. That you paid money for, and that's the thing, man. We got the PlayStation announcements yesterday. One of them included Alan Wake 2 coming out, and that it would be digital only to keep the price below $70, $60 for console and $50 for PC. I don't know why it's more for console. I'm guessing it's the additional quote unquote development costs for making multi-platform versions, but I think that's pushing it a bit. This is dangerous, Manny. I mean, it's gonna all go this way. There's a legit claim, a legit point on, hey, it is getting more expensive to physically ship things. I get that. But this is dangerous, man.
I mean, part of it is they continue to push the envelope as far as production and
cost
and staff, how, yeah. Like, for example, like the Suicide Squad game Suicide Squad kills the Justice League. At this point, how much does that cost already?
Yeah.
So you think about that cost, and I understand that you're going to want to pinch pennies wherever you can, but getting rid of physical media, I mean, you're not just getting rid of a disc. What you're doing is really getting rid of ownership, to be honest. Like, at that point, you're renting the game. Because at some point, you're not going to have your console. Something's going to change where that game's no longer going to exist. How many digital movie platforms have came out in the past where they say, here's your digital movie code that no longer exist? And also, you're going to kill an entire industry when it comes to retro gaming.
Oh, yeah. You're always history being lost.
You're going to have, of course, everything up to, well, some things for PS5, but you're going to, yeah, I mean, not like it's already dying, but you're going to kill GameStop. Here in the Valley, we have local retro game shops that do that, have been doing it for years, and they have everything from Atari and everything.
We've got ours too. Yep.
So, It's a really bad move. Like, I understand the business side of it, but it's very short-sighted. And also, I mean, it's not like the physical copies for the new games really actually mean anything right now. I'm looking at you. Looking at you, Modern Warfare.
Still have to download stuff. On the cost thing, while the cost of manufacturing the disc itself haven't gone up that much on just raw materials for most of that process, it's the whole thing of the increased labor cost, the increased energy cost, meaning it costs more to run the factories, and distribution costs, fuel costs for transportation. It all does eventually add up. So like I said, while we might think, oh man, you know, I could buy a spool of DVDs, Blu-rays for X amount of dollars, it's a bit more than that for the big picture. But it is such a, I mean, look at Nintendo. Nintendo has always had severe anti-consumer mentality.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I mean, they are anti-consumer because whether you know this or not, or whether you really care or not, you as a consumer have what most people believe are relatively universal rights to the materials that you purchase to do with as you please. And companies like Nintendo and Apple are ridiculously against that because it means they can't sell you more first-party garbage. So you start thinking about third-party apps, third-party peripherals. You start thinking about third-party app stores and things like that. Nintendo hates for you to make copies of your games, even though it is settled law, at least in the United States, that you are completely within your legal rights and boundaries to make a personal copy of any media you purchase. That's the key word. See, streaming something, subscribing to something is not a purchase. That's in the terms of agreement whenever you buy things or sign up for a streaming service. So Nintendo is very, very anti making legal copies, because then you can sit there and do whatever you want with that copy, including play it on your phone, on an emulator, on your phone. You can legally do that. And of course there's piracy that they are over concerned about. If anything, their behavior causes additional piracy, because then they shut down game stores like on the Wii U, 3DS. And if you want to play those games again, Nintendo makes it the only way that you can is, subscribing to their Nintendo Online service. If that's not anti-consumer, I don't know what is. You already paid for it once. And now, just because, say, your system or drive dies, you have to pay for it again, or not even get the ability to pay for it again, only get to subscribe to it so they can take it away any time they want.
Yeah, it's happening. Video games, movies, TV shows, which is when it, we mean one of the fights that they're fighting against right now in the writer's strike, because things just disappear, and that's it. I mean, Disney's going to get rid of a bunch of stuff. HBO Max already did, or Max, whatever you want to call it. Warner
and
Brothers.
Some of this has no physical media releases that you could have gotten. You couldn't have even gotten,
and
you
I,
know, if you wanted
and
to.
And I understand some of the things that they got rid of really didn't have any audiences, or you know,
very
a lot.
True.
But that doesn't mean it can't come back as a cult classic, really.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about all the classic TV shows from the 80s, 90s that...
Oh, yeah.
Didn't necessarily
not
resonate.
Not successful then,
and
but
then you run it on... Beloved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... I say this while I'm staring at, like, just a bunch of DVDs over there, and I'm just like, man... And Blu-rays, because the thing is, it's like...
Yeah.
Your power... I mean, we're one power outage away from, like, being primates again.
Yeah.
Seriously,
if I have a generator, then I have a TV and Blu-ray or DVD player, I have entertainment. I can watch
it's not even a power outage. We are just internet outage.
Yeah,
an internet outage from.
You know what else is awesome about having that DVD or Blu-ray? I also have legal copies of all of my games. So if my power and internet go out, I don't even necessarily have to spin up the Blu-ray or DVD player. I can use my personal digital copies of my movies and watch them that way that I legally copied on from the physical media. Like, you guys can do this stuff too, man. It's all out there.
Yeah, but if we don't have anything, I mean, that's also just a loss of revenue. I mean, how much would a box set right now with the Mandalorian make?
And
the thing is, it's like nobody's going on Disney Plus right now to watch the Mandalorian, especially season 3. Mm-mm. Like, if you watched it. Yeah, there's some people that are gonna go rewatch it. You know, like anything. But at this point, I'm saying not you, but there's some people who watch it. But what I'm saying is, at this point, if they said, here's a box set of season 1 through 3 of The Mandalorian, you're like, ooh, I just need this to have it. Not necessarily
If there's extras.
Yeah, and you're not going to, and then you, Andor, for example, here's one of Andor with the extras. You're not going to be like, oh, I bought Andor, I'm canceling my Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. You know?
No. So,
I mean, if that were the case, then we would have already canceled Netflix, because it's because they partner a lot with a lot of other studios, but Cobra Kai is on physical media, Stranger Things on digital, physical media, and so on and so on and so on. People are canceling Netflix. Boys is on physical media. I just go on and on. But
let's all admit this. If Prime Video was not included with our Prime subscriptions, I don't know if people would be paying for it separately.
Oh no, I 100% agree.
That's how they were able to get the ability to make The Boys, Wheel of Time, Rings of Power type stuff. That's all Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how they were able to do it, was that, hey, you know, they've got some of those, especially The Boys. I do think they could potentially stand on their own. And I wonder if they would ever do that, offer the subscription to the video platform alone.
Well now they have even more because of their expansion with MGM.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that their release schedules have been very, very well done, where you give the movie a month in theaters, and the people who are going to go to the theaters are going to go to the theaters. The perfect example was Creed. Air didn't do that great, but it also didn't do that bad. It made a whole lot more money than it would have on streaming. So it's a real testament to theaters, and it always made me happy to see, because Paramount Plus Max and Prime and Amazon seem to get it, where it's like, no. If we're making movies, we need to put them in theaters. Movies, yeah. Theaters. I mean, Zaslav said it himself that, you know, we're not doing this straight to Max releases anymore. It's got to go through the theaters, and you know, even if it's a shorter window,
yeah.
I think that it's the right move. Let me go watch the movie in theaters. Let me go enjoy it, and or give me the option regardless. Like sometimes I'll do dual releases where it's like it's going to be out on. And then a lot of times, though, some of those movies are reviewed, and then they do well, and then they go, just kidding, it's only in theaters. A Smile was a perfect example. It did really, really well. It was supposed to go just straight to because I had to go back and look at one of my pieces. I was like, wasn't this straight to Paramount Plus? And then I went way back when it first announced, and it was. It was Paramount Plus exclusive, and then I went through the film festivals, and it was like, just kidding. It's only in theaters. We'll put it on here eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's the only way to make money, and I think you're gonna lose. Video games are gonna lose, because the thing is, it's like it's gonna be such a process of like downloading stuff and everything. It's the same. I think you're gonna lose. They're gonna lose money on that too, because it's gonna turn people away. Hell, I don't feel like just download. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it, man. I had asked this back in 2021, maybe even late 2020. When will Hollywood start dragging consumers kicking and screaming back to the theaters? And they're starting to do it, but I think they're also going to start dragging people kicking and screaming to the browser or brick and mortar store for not necessarily as much physical media as we used to get. But I do see here's why I think Hollywood might try to push physical media again, and it'll never be like it used to be. And I know we're talking about video games, trying to save a buck here. The thing about Hollywood is that people are looking to make money in the long term, and the only way they can do that is by someone buying a copy of it, right? The residuals via streaming aren't enough. That's part of what's going on with the writer's strike, is an argument of how much those residuals should be. Regardless, we know from money losses on the companies that own the streaming services that the residuals aren't going to be, they don't have enough. They're running losses here. Okay. So you've got that going on, and oh my God, I just lost my freaking thought. What were we? We were, the writers, the costs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That's the second time today, guys.
It's all good, man. I guess what I'll, we've been right this whole time, and sometimes we sound kind of conspiracy-ish, or whatever. Yeah. We look like that guy. Yeah, we look like that guy on the board. From was it Pacific Rim or something like that? Yeah, I think it was Pacific Rim. Anyway,
isn't he the guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But we were right, because what happened? All of a sudden, you know, none of the streaming services were making money, and what what are we seeing? We're seeing the combination of streaming services, because they're not generating enough money. Max, Travel, Discovery Plus, and it's they're combined. What's Disney gonna do by the end of the year? Disney
combined with Hulu.
And yep. Because why? It's not sustainable. You need more content, more shows, not necessarily movies. You need more shows,
and it costs money to make those. And that's what I was saying. Why I think Hollywood will make a push, not to physical media like they used to, but how more than they do now. And that's because actual sales. Those are going to matter yeah. more people go out there and get it, especially when you're looking at the reduction in content and the crackdown on password sharing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make more sense for someone to go buy the movie that they do want than fiddling around with these streaming services all the time, especially if there's content being taken off and they make more money off of that. Heck, you might even see the potential for them to look at trying to push Redbox stuff more again. I don't know if any of that will ever.
Nah.
the point being is they're looking for ways to make money, and they're going back to what was like tried and true. Ways.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, ladies and gentlemen, that benefits us. If you buy it, you have a better chance of being able to view it in case of multiple obstacles ranging from power or internet outages to contract and licensing changes to absolute bankruptcy of a company and now their services are no longer available. And you're at the at the mercy of whoever buys up their assets. So
also it's a solid way to know how popular something is, because you can't, yeah. there's some times with streaming where it's like, you wonder why things get canceled, and sometimes you need, I don't know.
Yeah. It definitely provides a lot better data for sure.
And it provides money, money, yes. money.
Yes. We have done it. We've made it through another episode during the writer's strike. It's weird. You and I really weren't able to podcast for the first bit too much of the writer's strike getting kicked off. But I got to get set up for AVR Squared. We're doing our Dr. Stone season 3 episode 8 reaction. You guys can watch anime reactions and more content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel, Daily Cog, Breaking Geek Radio. They're going to be reviewing The Little Mermaid this week, so be sure to tune in and check that out. Nothing like a few grown men talking about the Little
Hell
Mermaid.
Yeah.
No, wait. Jonesy does have a daughter. I think, yeah. None of the others have any kids, let alone the primary audience for this. Anyways, check out their review. Enjoy Star Wars content, anime content. If it's not a reaction, and then the audio goes up on all your favorite podcast apps. LRMonline.com. My brain is obviously having issues. Anything else?
Yeah, I watched that entire Spider-Man trailer. Like I liked it. It looks like every other Spider-Man game. I can tell you the same thing about Batman games. It looked very, very similar. They make tweaks and everything. It's still fun. I love playing them. That's not what I'm saying.
You know my number one problem with it?
What is it?
Marvel's Spider-Man 2 instead of Marvel's Spider-Man the Big Hunt or something like that. Miracle.
What about Spider-Man Welcome to New York City?
Oh, shut up, Manny. We're out, ladies and gentlemen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.